Howdy. Keep wanting to say good morning, but that stopped at 12, didn't it? I leave for New York tomorrow, come back on Saturday, so for CTKers, I'll be gone for a couple of days. But I wanted to come and share a word with you I think is really important. I wanted Bracken to read that particular account of the temptation of Christ, because at the end, it talks about the enemy leaving until an opportune time, and those who've been around for a while, we've talked about this before. I always saw that just in light of the fact that Jesus was particularly vulnerable, having fasted for 40 days, and that was an opportune time, and so the enemy was going to wait for another time of weakness. But the truth is, spiritually, Jesus was at his strongest fasting for 40 days. He may have been physically weak. And so that may be true. It is true. We've all experienced the fact that when you're in a place of weakness or conflict, the enemy kind of has a tendency to rush in, to sort of pile on. But I believe that God is so big that those moments are also opportune times in the Spirit. Because the particular Luke passage says that when that temptation was over, Jesus went forth in the power of the Spirit. And he begins to move and minister in signs and wonders. Now, it wasn't that Jesus didn't carry in him already the power of the Spirit in terms of him being our example or as the Son of Man. You know, just prior to this, Jesus experienced what we would call baptism in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon him and remained on him. But immediately after that, he has this time of testing and the temptation in the wilderness, where Scripture says he was led about in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. The Matthew passage says that he was led about in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So it's like one of them seems to indicate that he's in the wilderness and he's being tempted, by he's being led by the Spirit while he's being tempted. The other indicates that somehow God's in control, led him in the wilderness to be tempted. So like, which one of those things are true? Yes, they both are. And there's some mystery to that, but that's okay. But it's really clear, the Luke passage says, in Jesus filled with the Holy Spirit. So whatever he was going through wasn't because there was some place in his life that was vulnerable to spiritual attack. As the Son of Man, he was filled with the Spirit. God, very God, always lived on earth as man, so he could show us as second Adam how we were intended to live as the author and the perfecter of faith. And so here he is, Spirit-filled, and yet he's being tested. It's the same word as the word tested by the devil in the wilderness for 40 days. But the result was, because he came through the test, is that he was propelled. That which was in him, there was an increase in its manifestation in his life. I think about Job. There are a lot, I know that there are New Testament teachers today that don't like to talk about Job because it's confusing. It's better not to ignore a place in the Scripture. Just say what it says and then live with some things you don't understand. But Job, the enemy took away everything he had except for the wife that would have been better off if he'd have taken her too. Nothing like leaving the godly, the mouthy wife is the one person that God, the blessing, because she's the one telling him to curse God and die. But if you remember, go back and you read in the book of Job, the first part is that the enemy's standing before God and God brings up Job's name. And then Job, the enemy says, well, the only reason he loves you, God says, there's nobody like him in all the earth. So he says, well, the only reason he's that way towards you is because nothing's ever happened to him negative. He has so much. And so he asked, so the devil said, accused him. He said, well, if I were to touch some things in his life. So the Lord said, you can touch some things in his life, but you can't take his life. And so that sounds like God's in control. So he does all those things. He comes back to him again. He says, see, no more than anybody else on the earth, he's not denied me. And the devil said, yeah, but you didn't really touch his body and stuff. He said, okay, well, you can touch his body, but you can't take his life. So then this journey begins. And then when you get to the end of the story, Job got pulled into some place in the battle of complaining and trying to justify himself, feeling sorry for himself. When it's all said and done, in chapter 42, as he finally gets it, or gets what he gets, he says, I've complained about things too wonderful for me to understand. And he said, I'm going to now close my mouth. He said, I used to hear you with the hearing of my ears. Now the eyes of my spirit see you. And the result was that as he blessed his friends who had cursed him, and then God restored to him double everything that he had. Now, what is that all about? There are things I don't know. There are mysteries in that I don't know, but I do know this, is that there are times that we go through real spiritual warfare. Because what we have a tendency to do is to fall into one camp or another. It's like going, all right, everything spiritual warfare, it's always the devil. The narrative's the devil. We're going to just show the devil so much respect. And we've said this before, said it again Sunday. I believe there is a devil. Of course I believe there's a devil. I've been attacked by the devil. I just don't believe in the devil. I believe in God. And they're not co-equals. But there are places, but then there are people who all they talk about is warfare. Then there are those people who fall into the camp where God is sovereign and God's in control so much so that you like want to act like there is no real spiritual warfare. But that's not true biblically. But both those things are true. Jesus was led about in the wilderness while being tempted, but he also says he was led about in the wilderness to be tempted, to be tested. Yet there were real things at stake with Job. Was the enemy cause all that stuff? Yes. But he didn't get to do it without God's permission. And I've heard people say, well, if God permits it, then he's responsible for it and he's cruel. That's just a mystery I have to live with. God's good. But here's what I believe. See, we live in the midst of a cosmic conflict. I think that's part we don't really get and understand. And why does the Lord, why does he allow spiritual attack? Why does he allow warfare? Well, sometimes warfare comes because we're rebellious. And there's nonsense in our lives, and the Lord uses the enemy to kick our booty a little bit in love. That's what it says, it's not rejection or condemnation. He says in Hebrews chapter 12, if a father loves you, he'll in love, bearing a fruit of righteousness. Some say that's great, for God uses the enemy to help propel us towards righteousness. But I think sometimes God uses the enemy allows warfare to come. Because he knows what's at stake, and he knows what the result's going to be. If we'll trust him, and the result's going to be increase. An increase on the army of God's behalf means permanent decrease in the army of darkness' behalf. I mean, in the end, did Job go through some stuff? Were there some things that he suffered, losses that he couldn't get back? Yes. We're going to live forever. That's all going to weigh out. God's a God of justice. He's going to bring all that right. But in the end, he had increase. He got healed and he had increase. Got more than he had. So all the naysayers that were accusing him of stuff, when it was all said and done, I wonder how they dealt with that. With Jesus, who carried the power of God, he was releasing the power of God, and guess who ended up getting their booty kicked a lot? From Luke 4, you go immediately into the place where he's in the synagogue and he announces that Isaiah 61 is being fulfilled right now and before you. People are being healed. The blind are going to see. The brokenhearted are being healed. So if you ever watched like a movie like Braveheart, that's a pretty famous movie, and that first battle against the English, what William Wallace told them, he said, I want you to look like you're running. Some of them are going to run. And I want the enemy to charge. Let him charge. And one of the barons said, well, won't they think we're retreating? He said, I want them to think they're retreating. Let them all charge. Let them play their hand. Let them overplay their hand. But as they all rushed into the battlefield, then William Wallace's troops flanked them and destroyed them. I believe that a lot of it's about, why does the Lord allow warfare? Because he lets the enemy overplay his hand. Because when it's done and victory is manifested, he'll have suffered losses he'll never recover from. And you'll experience advances that you'll never retreat from and increase. So when God gives a word, like moving from never, never land, it's a prophetic word, where there are just things you never, never, and never hoped for, expected, and you're transitioning into a place where it's always, always land, your childlike expectation is a place where you kind of always expect, you're stunned when God doesn't move in the miraculous, instead of being stunned when he does. I mean, acting like we believe he does and then getting shocked when he does, you know what I'm saying? The transition's going to be a lot of warfare. The enemy's going to do everything he can, throw the kitchen sink, to get a person to stop believing and moving towards that in their own life and in the church corporately. That's just the way it works. But why does God let that happen? You know? If you remember, if you ever read the Chronicles of Narnia, when the Lord let the lions roar, when the enemy gets noisy, what, you know what makes us move? Run faster. If you remember that vision, there was like a blimp, the shape of the world, and looked like the world, like a living sea in the world, but it had these two propellers. It was being propelled. The Lord uses the enemy to propel us. Now, he can stop us. We can get discouraged and get despairing and just give in and lay down, or we can be propelled into that place faster, bigger, and the result being that we know increase. I believe the Lord always allows warfare for increase. But are there risks involved that we might just lie down? Yes, there are risks involved. But the stakes are so high, it's worth it. Okay? I believe that's why it is true. That the enemy comes at you when he thinks it's an opportune time because he thinks he's got you. But the Lord knows it's an opportune time for him to get him. That's what's really going on. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.